verse 15 in Luke 24 says, and as they talked and discussed together these things, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. Our scripture reading reveals a sad fact of human blindness to divine nearness. The risen Christ is everywhere present, although we may not be able to see or recognize him at all times, not always conscious of his presence. The history of the journey to Emmaus carries with it many important teachings. It brings before us how Christ, the risen Christ, in a special sense, draws near to each one of us. How he adds himself to the two or three gathered together in his name. How he journeys with us. How he enlightens our reason and fires up our affections. How he abides under the shelter of our dwellings. How at some supreme moment, maybe he allows us to see with the eyes of the Spirit a brief vision of his majesty. And the disciples learn at first that they were not left with just the memory of a wonderful Lord. They were to walk in intimate fellowship with the living Lord who had conquered death and the grave. He was and continues to be all that he had been, and had been even more. They discovered in his presence a warmth, a graciousness, and a power superior even to that which they had felt before his crucifixion. So first of all, let's say the living Christ draws near to us now as to those who traveled down that Emmaus road with purposes of love. These two disciples on the way to Emmaus were disappointed and despondent. The future indeed looked black. An uncharted and unpromising road loomed in front of them. They had placed their faith in Jesus Christ for pardon and peace and power and a purpose for the future. His death upon the cross and burial in a tomb had plunged them into despair. He who was infinite, indescribable love was near to them as they walked towards their home, to press into their hearts the peace and power and purpose for living that they thought was gone forever. With purpose of love, he drew near to them to quiet their fears, to instruct their mind, to increase their faith, and to restore their hope and confidence. Even so, he would come and walk the road of life with us today. Secondly, the living Christ draws near to us when we assemble together in his name. Matthew records the words of Jesus in Matthew 18, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. In Hebrews 10, we find these words, those who neglect to assemble themselves together with the church deprive themselves of an enriching and transfiguring experience with the living Lord. God comes to meet with his people. Such has always been the case. God wants to dwell in the midst of his people and to walk with them and to talk with them. The living Christ who walked in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks would speak to the mind. This refers to Revelation 1 when John, there on the island of Patmos, said, "On the Lord's day I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet. I turned round to see the voice that was speaking to me. When I turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and among them was someone like the Son of Man. Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever." The living Christ would warm the heart, and he would mold our will to harmonize with the truth which sets us free from sin and failure. The living Christ comes into the midst of his people to command deeds, to commend deeds well done. He comes to complain too concerning our shortcomings and our ways of self-destruction. He comes to challenge, to counsel, to command, to cheer according to the riches of God's grace and according to the deepest needs of his people. Yes, the living Christ draws near to us when we meet together in his name. Thirdly, the living Christ draws near to us when we study God's word. In verse 25 it says, "He said to them, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Later that day again, he appeared to the two and other disciples, and he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. Only Jesus gives meaning to the scriptures. Only as we let the Holy Spirit lead and guide our thinking will we be able to understand the great truths of God. And as we read God's word, we need divine guidance and assistance. If faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, Christ will speak authoritatively to our lives as we give ourselves to the study of his written words in the New Testament. To neglect his word is to impoverish our own spiritual life. The living Christ would speak to us and give us words of guidance and hope and cheer if we will reverently and prayerfully study the divine truth. And fourthly, the living Christ draws near to us in our homes. The living Christ draws near to us in our homes. As they approached the village, this is verse 28-29, to which they were going, Jesus asked if, acted as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. These were average, ordinary believers to whom the Lord Jesus appeared, with whom he walked, When they invited him to come into their home, he responded. They had as their guest the very Lord of heaven and earth. The living Christ will come into our homes and bless us as we face the common responsibilities and opportunities of life. He will assist parents who seek to provide a spiritual atmosphere conducive to the moral and religious development of their children. He would guide children and young people as they make their choices that will determine their future. Yes, the living Lord draws near to us in our homes. Fifthly, the risen Christ draws near to us as we seek to serve a needy world. In seeking to meet the physical and spiritual needs of those about us, we are actually rendering service to the Lord Jesus. In Matthew 25, Jesus said, "Inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me." Do we always realize that a service in the name of Christ is actually a service to Christ? There are many opportunities that come to us within the life and fellowship of the church that the Lord Jesus wants to use. He wants us to give our time and energy to be involved in some kind of ministry to old and young alike. Don't miss the opportunity. Don't shrug it off, that need, and think that it means someone else who is perhaps better fitted to do it, or so we think. The risen Christ has promised to be near to us and even with us as we bear witness to any unbelievers about us, pointing them to the Lord Jesus, telling of what he has done for us. And sixthly, the living Lord draws near to us as we walk along the road ever stretching before us. The journey from Jerusalem to Emmaus is an allegory of many a life, both in apparent sadness and in its final joy. The living Lord, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, will come to us and walk the road of life with us to provide us with counsel, comfort, and cheer. By the resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ assures us that death itself is a defeated foe and the grave will have no final victory over us. Is there any here this morning who perhaps cannot take this in? Who perhaps still have sad hearts? Perhaps you're thinking, I've never known the joy of Christianity yet. Listen, I want to tell you how you can. I can't emphasize this too much. Just as a young child lives day by day in the arms of its mother and grows up year by year under a mother's eye, it is a possibility that you can live every day, an hour of your life, in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If your heart is sad, let it begin to hope today. Jesus revealed himself to his disciples, and he will do to you. Perhaps there are some who have gone beyond the sad heart stage and yet feel, I have not got what I want. If you have thrown open your heart and have given up everything but just believing and allowing him to do what he wants, it will come. Perhaps you've arrived at the stage of the burning heart and can tell of many happy experiences, but somehow there's something nagging at you because the experiences don't seem to last and the heart is so changeable. Oh, come, follow Jesus. Let us all come and say, Lord Jesus, reveal yourself that we may know you. We ask not only to bathe ourselves in the light, we want the Son of Righteousness within our hearts. We ask not only to know you who has touched us and warmed our hearts and blessed us, but we want to know that we have the unchangeable Jesus living within our hearts and abiding with us forevermore. Now comes a question which I really want to put before you. To whom is it that Jesus will reveal himself? To whom is it that Jesus will reveal himself? First of all, we find that Jesus revealed himself to those disciples who had given up everything for him, forsake all and followed me, were the words that moved them. They were not perfect men, but they would have died for him. They loved him, they obeyed him, and they followed him. And for us, this means putting Christ into his rightful place in our lives. Jesus first, others next, yourself last. Jesus first, others next, yourself last. And that, of course, J-O-Y, spells joy. That's real joy. That's how we arrived at calling joy. From that, Jesus, others, yourself. His demands on us have to come first, governing our whole way of life. It's not enough to have Jesus as your Savior. He must become Lord. Lord over everything, even your will. If you want peace and rest and joy in your life, you must have Jesus himself. Where does the strength of so many people come from, do you think? It comes from the joy of a personal friendship with the Lord Jesus. When we have Jesus with us, and when we go every footstep with the thought that it's Jesus who wants us to go there, it's Jesus who sends us, it's Jesus who is helping us, then there will be brightness in our testimony, and it will help other believers, and they will begin to understand. How will it come, this revealing of Jesus to us? Well, by the power of the Holy Spirit, of course. The power of the Holy Spirit. So let us reach out for this satisfied heart. The heart made glad for eternity. The heart that cannot keep its joy in, but goes back to Jerusalem as they did and says, it's true, Jesus has revealed himself. I know it. I feel it. When do we need Jesus Christ? Now. The younger, the better. But you're never too old. Don't keep putting it off. See, generally we have our lives organized for us, don't we? Things that we can't get out of. School, 4 years of age. Juniors, 7 years of age. Secondary, 11 years of age. Believe at 18 years, university 18 years onwards, vote at 18, retire, we're not really sure of that, but it's somewhere there. You will retire. All these events are fixed for us. Can't get out of them. It's the law. One little boy reached the great age of 5 years. And he turned to a younger boy and he said, how old are you? And the younger boy said, I don't know. So the five-year-old said, are you interested in girls? No, the little boy said. Well, you're only four. But at some age, we have to make up our mind about Jesus. He'll do everything for you. And that reminds me, a dead Christ, we do everything for. But a living Christ does everything for you and me. Have no fear of that. And he'll always make his presence known to you. If you want real satisfaction in your life, there's only the Lord Jesus who can supply this. Nothing else will. Do you really want to know Jesus Christ? Part of our scripture said, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him. A man once said to the great evangelist of another year, another age, Moody, he said to him, I feel as if I'm chained and I cannot come to Christ. And the evangelist said, come, chains and all. Come as you are. Christ can deliver. Only come. Charlotte Elliot, who went on to write hymns, was once asked by a guest in the home who was a minister, was she a Christian? And she was quite offended. And she couldn't dismiss the question from her mind. Eventually, she turned to the minister and said, I should like to come to Christ, but I don't know how. And he said, you've no need to worry about that. Come to him just as you are. And she remembered those words. And a time when she was going through a time of depression and helplessness, she remembered those words afresh and went on to write this amazing hymn. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. And the last verse says, just as I am of that free love, the breadth, length, depth, and height to prove, here for a season, then above, O Lamb of God, I come. If you would have this living Christ to draw near to you, to meet the deepest needs of your heart and life, to bless you with the gifts of heaven, then you should draw near to him now. Trust him for the forgiveness of all sin. Receive him that you might receive the gift of a new life. As the days go by, develop a warm friendship with him, and you will discover that he has given you the abundant life in the here and now, which will be more perfectly realized in the life beyond this life.